You're listening to a previously recorded episode of the Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This show is broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit Studio. Show is broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. For more information about the show or our network, please visit www.podcastdetroit.com.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Active 8 Gaming, it's The Undercard. Bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
Officially episode 195. It is July 5th during the second biggest MMA event ever behind UFC 1. We have UFC 200 coming up. We're going to be breaking it down. We have some guests from the Podcast Detroit family in here. We have Josh and Mike from Top Rope Review, because it's rare, but occasionally the worlds cross with pro wrestling and MMA.
Yes.
And it happens this weekend, but we're going to go through the UFC 200 fight card. But we're just going to open the show and talk about everybody's 4th of July weekend really quick. I had a great 4th of July weekend. First off, first time I've ever barbecued. Think about that.
Like you ran like the barbecue?
I did it.
Ooh, oh, okay. How'd that go?
first time burnt. Second time not shabby.
Okay. Well, I mean, you still
and I'm
have...
taking credit for ribs that were cooked at Kroger, and I just rehit them.
Or for starting the fire.
Well, here, look. You have your hair. You have your eyebrows. So.
Yes, I'm good.
I mean, that's that means a good you start. Did it wrong.
Right. And then
now, hold on. Charcoal or gas?
Charcoal.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. No, all respect.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hold on. Who started the charcoal?
She had to. I'm a terrible pyro. Terrible.
Are you telling me? Like you? Are you telling me you couldn't set something on fire? That
oh, no.
is designed to catch on fire.
I could.
And they were the ones who didn't need the lighter fluid.
So, oh, really?
So it was like pre-soaked already.
Yeah.
So the thing that says don't let this get too hot, it may spontaneously combust.
Couldn't do it.
That's
couldn't
awesome.
Do it, but the
burgers he did were perfect.
Okay. Day two, amazing.
How I want to understand, how could you not get it to light? Were you lighting the match, dunking it in water, and then throwing it in the...
No. She's not giving
me
justice.
Oh, no. He got it lit, but
yeah,
then it
just
went
wouldn't
out.
Stay lit.
Oh, okay. Because you didn't spread the charcoal out enough?
Yeah.
You only put like 5
or...
in there.
Oh, what? Oh, man.
Well,
she tried.
All right, you know what? Give me half of your man card.
On
right?
any given
you get to keep the other half.
You remember my barbecue, that big giant...
That's what I said. Oh, that's why he gets to keep the other half.
He redeemed himself.
So I have the big giant barbecue. I usually just throw the whole bag of charcoal in the bottom of it and then just and light paper and everything and just let it go.
Yeah.
But I have a giant barbecue.
Right.
You have to use a lot of charcoal, dude.
I know.
That's why you know now.
Yeah. Time two. But 38 years old.
He's got 5 briquettes. 38 years. He's like, I don't get it.
38 years old. You think I'd have barbecued by now? Yeah. And then last night my mom went up north. And I'm talking. People go, oh, I go up north and stuff like that. But I'm talking desolate Michigan. And so you take a lot of one-lane highways to get there and stuff. And the lightning bugs were, like, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You just look in the field, and they were just all lit up everywhere. But at the same time, they're coming at you like Star Wars and dying. And then it would, like, glow for a little bit, all the ones you're killing on your windshield as you mow through them.
And they are little glow spots.
Yeah, little glow spots.
But
it sounded
like
galaxy.
Rain. Because there were that many of them hitting the
that many bugs.
Like, right. So was that the end of was it Magnolia where the frogs all fall from the sky?
Oh,
is it Magnolia, I think?
So then on the way back, because we just go up north to pick up my mom, we literally look at the lake that my aunt lives on for like 2 seconds and then we drive back. And,
that's fun.
No. So then the deer were spooked because a lot of small towns, Eaton Rapids, Charlotte, small towns. And they all had their fireworks last night.
Mm-hmm.
So the deers were just spooked.
Oh, yeah.
They were all over, dude. And you're just waiting for them to jump
I'm
in
sure.
front of your car.
Absolutely.
You play the chicken game. You're like, you stay there. You see their glowing eyes from a distance.
Right.
And you're like, is he going to dart? What's he going to do? Saw 10 on the way home. But it was pretty cool. It was relaxing. Mm-hmm. What did you guys do?
Liz?
Marv drank. I know that.
I went up north with some family.
And I went tubing for the first time.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now that's more ridiculous than freaking barbecuing.
No, necessarily, because she's still young.
She's 21. I was tubing when I was 6.
Yeah, but if you don't know anybody who lives on a lake or you don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, if that's something your family does... Everybody barbecues.
She's also not a man. Like, if you haven't barbecued by the time you're 17,
yeah,
you don't get your man card at 18. Like, that's a prerequisite.
Well, I don't have my own apron yet. I don't know how you got yours.
You got what?
I don't have my own apron yet.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, kiss the cook.
Yeah, no, you...
No, that's fine. You know what? You're damn right you don't have that, because you have to earn that, motherfucker. You don't just get that, okay?
Buy it at Target for $5.
That's right. She wears the pants and the apron in the house.
What the hell? So you had fun relaxing.
Yeah, and then I tried to water ski, and I couldn't do it. Yeah. But
tell the best part. Tell the best part, though.
Yeah, so it was this girl's 60th birthday party up there. She's born on the 4th of July.
This girl's 60th birthday party.
She... got up on those skis on her 60th birthday, dropped a ski, did it once, and she made me feel so low that I couldn't even get up.
She's like, sweetie, just step aside here and let Granny show you how to do this.
And she was like, she was everywhere. We were whipping her around, and she was just having fun.
She's like, faster, what'd you boys do with your balls?
I mean, don't feel bad. It took me a couple of times, you know, trying before I actually was able to.
Well, she got it up on her first try.
Well, yeah, but how many times has she done it?
She hasn't done it in like 30 years, she said.
But she did it before. Yeah it's like riding a bike. Once you do it once, you can do it again, like almost immediately, yeah.
And then I tried it like... just, it wasn't happening.
Yeah. Marv, what'd you end up doing?
I dressed up as an old lady and went water skiing.
That was pretty good.
She whipped it. She like fell. She had some pretty hard hits, and she did not care. She's like, "Oh, I'm fine. My earrings are still in." I was like, "All right,
my earrings are still in." Yeah. Right.
I'm smart enough to know where to remove jewelry before swimming.
Oh, she did. She did not care. She did not care.
That's funny. Yesterday was my mama's birthday, so happy birthday, mama. I'm pretty sure I can't tell you how old she was because she'll kill me. But let's just say it's a number that ends with 6 and begins with 6.
Okay.
Yeah. Did that. And what you said you knew I drank. I don't believe I did drink this weekend.
I saw a post on your social media on Friday.
Oh, about the Rusted Crow.
No. There's a picture of you. You were looking down at yourself, and you said, "I can."
Oh my God! You know what? I totally forgot about that. Yeah, that was Sunday.
That's what drinking does. You totally forget. About it.
Well, no, because I didn't.
You do it right.
I didn't get trashed. Actually, I had a few, and did. I forgot about that. Yeah. I forgot that I drank there.
Good drinking.
When you
does
forget that you can't see your toes or something like.
No,
that.
No, I didn't know. I didn't get drunk. That was the thing.
No, I know, so but that was the caption of the picture.
I know, but I'm saying I didn't remember that I drank because I didn't get drunk. That's the level. To which I was like, no, I don't think I drank because I remember everything from the party. So
now Josh was going to leave when you were talking about the barbecue. I have a feeling Josh has never barbecued.
No, I have not.
How old are you, Josh?
Well, I'm 30.
Okay, well, he's got 8 years to get it in before me. But
well, that's now that's my life goal. Is to
dude, that's
got to
be
sure
a drop. He's got 8 years to get it in before me. It's got
to
be.
I need to take.
Are we not doing phrasing anymore?
So Josh,
I was gonna say I gotta take like all you like Liz because apparently she's more man than most of the guys here.
Yeah.
But we gotta take you like camping, barbecue,
Brad,
start a fire.
Can I just say,
fishing?
Brad has never been fishing.
I know.
Never.
We gotta
all
take
right,
him
no,
off.
No. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm seeing a great opportunity for an undercard
sponsored event,
an undercard retreat.
Yes.
/ documentary.
Yes, absolutely.
Where we're gonna do like a Survivor Man. Like, all right, we're out here in the woods. We have a match and a half.
I told him I'd. Provide
we're all wearing
everything.
Sunglasses. Yep. We have half a tank of gas and a pack of Winstons.
I told him I'd provide him with everything and even bait the hook for him.
Yeah,
you've never fished it. Either.
No. He has never been fishing.
See, this is what we gotta do. We gotta go camping.
You
we gotta
down get him river. Like, how did you not?
We gotta go
fish?
Camping. We gotta
to
get him fishing.
At Gibraltar, but I wouldn't call it really fishing.
We got to go camping. We got to get him fishing, and then we got to cook, have him start the fire, and then actually skin and fillet the fish, and we'll have it for dinner.
Yeah, I'm not eating
Absolutely.
It. I'm not eating,
I'm not
that.
Eating fish. I
I'm
catch.
Not eating
Why?
That.
No.
Why? It's good. No. Some bluegill
Mike,
or
Mike, what'd you end
I
up
like
doing?
I like fish, but I don't like fish. No. I like shrimp.
Wait a
like,
minute.
That's
I,
not,
we,
I mean,
it's point out what I didn't do, but I don't get to like.
Oh, no. Josh, let's hear about the lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's hear how you didn't barbecue.
One thing I want to say that
He's
I
like,
have.
Well, I ordered Thai food.
I have I have cooked things over a fire, so I feel like that
actually counts
with
as barbecuing. Though.
Okay, well then that actually counts
I
as barbecuing.
Oh, so like you did? Whoa, so you did like the teepee like over like a campfire?
Yes,
that's actually more hardcore than barbecuing.
Yeah, that counts.
That gives
actually.
You a pass.
Yeah, absolutely.
That gives you a pass. All right, I'm back in the game here.
Yep.
Man card restored.
Yeah. With an asterisk, but still.
So the highlight of my weekend was I found out about a drink called. The steel drum, and what it is you take a swig out of like a Coors, and you put a shot of rum in the can, and it's generally you want to do like flavored rum, like give it a Caribbean feel, like coconut or banana.
Right,
it's real good.
Interesting.
Very does good. It have to be what beer did you say it was?
Well, so I was doing it with I did it with Coors,
of course, but does it have to be Coors, or it can be any beer?
I'm sure it could probably be any beer that
Coors gives you the steel
the
drum
steel,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, no, I get that. That's why I asked if it had to be Coors, though.
Wow.
It could probably be any lager.
Yeah.
You could cheat.
The guy that taught it to me did it in Jamaica, and he did it with Red Stripes. So, I mean,
well, yeah, I was going to say it would have to be a lager. Yeah.
So that was that was my highlight.
That's a pretty good highlight. All right, now, Mike, what did you do?
I went to a beach in Port Huron and got pretty drunk.
Okay.
Pretty burnt.
Good
you,
man.
Wait, you
Typical
found a
weekend.
Beach in
That's
Michigan.
America right
That's
there.
That's America right there. He's like, I went up north.
He found a beach in Michigan.
I got a beach and I got drunk.
Whoa. He's from Port Huron. So
I didn't go up north. 20 minutes away from Port Huron.
He was up north.
I did go up north. 20 minutes.
All right.
But Port Huron is up north from here, so it still counts.
I'm more impressed he found a beach that isn't closed to Michigan from pollution or something like that. All the ones in Monroe like it. Well,
everyone found the beach we were at. So.
Oh, really?
It was the only one they could go to.
Yeah, exactly.
Was there a bonfire at the end of the night, and then someone kicked some girls like a jukebox there, and then you had to fight karate
or boombox?
Didn't make it that far in the night.
You ever drag a jukebox out onto the beach, Jim?
It's pretty hard.
Okay, ghetto blast. Ghetto blast.
Dragging a Wurlitzer out there with the bubbles going up and everything. Like, where are we going to plug this in, Brad? He's like, shit.
Jimmy, what did you end up doing?
Everybody in my family went up north, and
except Jimmy
and except me, because
I hate it when my jokes actually are the truth with him.
I know, but we have a friend
a
of the family
with
who's
Netflix?
No. We had
Netflix.
We have an elderly friend of the family who's got really bad dementia, and my parents take care of her.
Oh, thanks.
For the weekend, I basically took care of her, make sure she took her pills and everything like that. I did, however, on Sunday night, go over. We have a standing 4th of July party with some old friends. And the girl whose party she always throws it, she works at a fireworks place. So it is always gigantic and massive, and this year was no exception. So that was kind of fun, but beyond that, I was mostly just sitting around watching Netflix and
that's awesome.
You know, taking care of Helen.
All right,
Rochelle, any highlights?
Yeah, I helped you barbecue.
That's true.
Starting the grill.
Yeah, she started the fire. She did the hard part.
I got to hang out with my kids.
Yeah. You just flipped
She was sitting there watching Brad trying to light it, getting movement out of it.
Well, then she should have
got video of it so we could laugh
and
at
you
him
know, and
mercilessly.
And she's probably like keeping her mouth shut, but you know she was like, flip those.
Let me know when you need help.
Flip those. Well, you got
to
flip those now.
No, I had.
He's like, no, they're fine. Flip them!
Tell him who put the grill together.
Oh, she did. Well, first off, you don't buy a grill the day you're going to grill, by the way.
No.
Because you got to put the fuckers together.
Well, you can buy them pre-built.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
What did you have to – wait.
Never going
to
get that.
What did you have to put together? You said you used charcoal.
You got to put the grill together, the legs.
You still got to put
– Oh, you just put the legs on. Jeez. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to UFC 200.
Yeah. Brad's like, let's move to something I know about.
Well, I handed out all my papers, so
– Yeah.
I'm out.
Oh, okay. UFC 200, big event happening July 9th.
I love it when I get my research material 5 minutes after the show started. It's fantastic.
All names Marv don't know. Let's go through
them. I know some of them.
All right. Let's go.
All right. So the main event of the evening, although there's really five main events that are going to happen. And you know what? We're going to treat everybody. I'm going to give my picks tonight.
Okay.
Once again, though.
Would you like a pen to star them?
No, I already know who I'm going with.
All right.
I know. But anyways, we talked a little bit about the Cormier fight versus Jon Jones. I believe I was mad at Daniel Cormier when he was saying that Jon Jones has to go through the champ. And you remember I said that you didn't win the belt from Jon Jones. So I was really, like, offended. I don't know why. I was, like, really mad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still really mad. I don't know why. You know, I'm not Jon Jones. I'm not related to Jon Jones. I don't know anything about Jon Jones' family, but I feel like he offended me. So we got Jon Jones, who is the best MMA person I've ever been around. So it's not saying much, 6 years, but the best I've ever seen. He's the greatest. Everyone used to say Silva and stuff. You remember, I used to say not my pound for pound. Jones is going to beat Daniel to a pulp. And he's going to have fun doing it. I believe, now don't bet this, but I could see this fight ending in three. I could see maybe a nasty cut from Jon Jones's elbows or something like that. But Jones looked a little rusty his last fight. I think that was partly by design, too. He was working on some new stuff. But when Jon Jones is on the top of his game, he is the best there ever was to be in MMA. And so my pick for the Jon Jones-Daniel Cormier fight is Jon Jones. And I'm excited about that. That alone makes me go 6 to midnight in my trunks. So, like, I'm pretty excited about that fight, right? But they're going to give you more. It's UFC 200, right?
Yeah.
This one, and it's good we have Josh and Mike here, right? This card was an amazing card to begin with. And then Dana White and the boys figured, hey, we got to do something even better. And I think this is all speculation. I'm not using a source here. I think what happened is I really think they thought Ronda would be ready for this. And Ronda, she seems like a basket case. I don't know if she'll ever fight again. She does not seem right in the head.
No.
The things she says were like, oh, I'll come back for one fight, but it's only the girl I've beat three times, Miesha Tate, that I'll fight and stuff. So I think she might be done. So UFC felt we were missing something still on the card. And then Conor McGregor, if you remember, maybe was going to fight Diaz. That didn't happen.
Right.
So miraculously, I believe that the WWE in the UFC, back when Ronda starred in WrestleMania last year, although she didn't do much, she was just part of it. I believe there was an open-ended deal probably that, hey, maybe we could use Brock Lesnar down the road. And Brock Lesnar is fighting a red-hot Mark Hunt. Here's a guy who hasn't wowed me his whole career and now is at the top of his game. Brock Lesnar, who left after he lost to Alistair Overeem to the liver kick, had a lot of issues, had major surgery, and the fireworks have already begun because Josh and Mike, you've got to defend this. The notion is that wrestlers juice. So a lot of fighters are saying, how can Lesnar come that close from wrestling and not be juiced? So first off, let's bring Josh and Mike in here and let's talk some Brock Lesnar. What's the percentage of wrestlers that juice, probably, in your head? And we're not going to hold you to it. Just speculate.
Well, so I think that the court case and stuff in the late 80s, early 90s, I don't think you have a lot of active wrestlers juicing. But I think if there was one that was able to pull it off and it be look the other way, or it would be someone like Brock Lesnar who has his like own landmark contract where he only has to fight so many days where everyone else is wrestling, you know, 300 nights a year, and he's a big attraction. I could see him having him or like a John Cena, one of, you know, their upper echelon of guys having kind of their own set of rules that maybe apply to them or don't apply to them that apply to everybody else.
Now, I don't get it with Brock Lesnar. So when I started covering boxing, someone was like, you got to cover MMA too. They're similar sports. And so I was thrown into MMA. And when I was thrown into MMA, this was when Brock Lesnar is just coming out of nowhere, right? You know, he's the guy that's drinking beer at the end of the fight and stuff. Everyone loved him, but I didn't get it. But I didn't come from a wrestling background. I looked at him as unmarketable. But I was wrong because the biggest numbers in UFC pay-per-view was this guy brought numbers. I look at him and to me he's bland. He's not good looking, which, I mean, helps fighters, Floyd Mayweather and stuff like that. What is it about Brock Lesnar? Why is he so big? Is it his wrestling storyline? Is it – I don't get it still.
Well, I think that the – and, Mike, I don't have to do all – if you want to say something. But I think that crossing over these two worlds is so rare. I mean, we've seen – we have Punk maybe doing it soon. We have Ken Shamrock and, like, Dan Severn, and that's basically your list of people who have done both. And maybe a couple others, but at UFC level. And so I think that brings people over, because normally, yeah, there's some crossover, but there are a lot of people, I think, on both sides, UFC fans who sneer at wrestling and wrestling fans who say, well, yeah, and, you know, do the same thing back. And I think that, yeah, he's not good looking, but I think he's a scary looking dude. I think that's the thing that, like, as far as aesthetics go, I think, like, he looks like he could beat somebody's ass.
Well, he's a monster.
Yeah.
And that's not just a storyline. He's a legitimate monster. I mean, just the way the guy presents himself, the way he works in the ring, he's a physical monster. Like, he's not natural.
Now, where are we in the Brock Lesnar arc of storyline right now? What's going on in WWE with him?
So what they're doing with him right now is he's like a rare attraction, where he comes and goes kind of as he pleases. So they'll have him, you know, they have like their big four pay-per-views a year, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series. And that's basically, he's working the build-up to those, and they're trying to give him big opponents like The Undertaker, or they were recently trying to set up Brock 3, because they've fought before, John Cena, Triple H, people like that. He's fighting big-name people. And so when he first came back in 2012, it was kind of like 50-50. Like, he would put on these matches that were super physical, but he would still lose. But since he broke the Undertaker's undefeated streak at WrestleMania a couple years ago, he's literally lost to no one, and he's decimated every opponent he's had.
I think a big thing is we haven't seen Brock since WrestleMania in April.
Yeah.
Or was it March this year?
Yeah, it was March.
March. We haven't seen Brock Lesnar since March, so Saturday is going to be the first time anyone's seeing Brock in a ring.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that alone is a spectacle in itself.
So a lot of wrestling fans will be watching it. The big storyline that's out there from people I respect is that if he loses, it will hurt his WWE career, or it hurts the WWE. It's plain to me, because although very athletic, in this room we tell – like, I mean, yeah. It's understood. Yeah. It's a storyline. Yeah. How has it hurt him?
Well, if you are billing someone as he can beat anyone, he beat this guy that hasn't been beaten in 20 years, he – you know, like John Cena – so for good example, John Cena basically roller coasters over everyone, and Brock Lesnar suplexed him 15 times. And John Cena didn't get any offense in, and then he won. So, like, that's the way they're booking this guy, right? That's the way the story goes. Well, so if he leaves and does a UFC fight, which already has that line where, like, this is predetermined athletic stunts and this is real fighting, and then gets his ass handed to him, it makes all of that buildup that they've done, you know, over the last 3 or 4 years of him being able to beat everyone in the WWE with his hand tied behind his back look really stupid.
It kind of blows up in WWE's face. All these years they've been building up Brock, and then he goes and has one match in UFC and loses. It's not going to look good.
So what's the benefit? Do you think there's cash that isn't on the books being given to WWE? What are we not seeing here?
I think
here?
It's Ronda.
Yeah, it's Ronda. They want Ronda.
They want Ronda bad.
Yeah. And she's emotionally gone, so she's probably yours.
Ronda, I mean, Ronda is arguably, I mean, at least at her peak, was like the face of that promotion, and at least in the public eye. And she has a ton of crossover popularity with doing movies and stuff. And she's a huge wrestling fan, and they want to capitalize on that and bring in even more people.
So if Lesnar loses, how do they capitalize on Ronda if he loses, and how do they capitalize on her if he wins?
So that part I don't think matters. What it is that they've been trying to get Ronda for a match since before she appeared, and Dana White said no.
Okay.
And so now it's kind of like, hey, we let you have Brock. Okay. Let us have Ronda for WrestleMania next year, or, you know, whatever it may be.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, I mean.
And they were also trying to get, and I don't know her name, but they were trying to get some other.
Paige VanZant.
Yeah, they were trying to get her for SummerSlam just for cross promotional purposes, and that didn't work out. So.
Yeah. Sorry, Anthony Barnes. She has a boyfriend now, too, by the way. I just found that out. Paige has a boyfriend.
Doesn't Anthony Barnes have a girlfriend?
Yeah, yeah, but I think he still likes Paige VanZant.
Oh, she's on his list?
He can still be crushing on her. It's fine.
Just saying.
So I have a theory about why this is happening right now, though. I don't know if this
is... Oh, I love theories. Yeah.
So it's been documented that back before UFC took off, Shane McMahon was trying to convince Vince to buy it.
Oh.
And Vince said no, and it didn't happen. Well, then Shane left the company and just came back this year, and now all of a sudden there's this push to cross-promote and share talent with the UFC. That's really, I mean, everything I've ever seen is, you know, between those two, between Dana and Vince is like, while I respect him, screw that guy and screw it. Like, you know, that's not maybe in those words, but, you know, like that's kind of, so for them to work together out of nowhere, as far as we can see, I think it might be Shane McMahon's influence.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, WWE, I wonder if WWE had the money to pony up and buy UFC, if they would leave it the way it is, or would they tinker with it too much and ruin the UFC?
They would tinker way too much.
And it would ruin
They love to tinker and make it their own.
Well, is Brock Lesnar a champion right now?
No.
No.
He is not a champion, so they don't risk that.
No, but he's the kind of talent that with like I said, with the undefeated streak and he, like, so he was champion and then lost it through some kind of thing where he wasn't pinned and he did like a triple threat
match. Yeah, there's a triple threat.
So he, yeah, they're booking him so strong that he doesn't need a title.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, if he was champion and I was Mark Hunt, I'd pay some kid in the front row to like have a WWE belt, and after I beat his ass, I'd have somebody throw the WWE belt.
Oh no, I wouldn't even have a kid. I would bring that with my camp.
Oh,
like in a bag.
Guaranteed they're not like, allowing that in.
No, I'm saying like in a bag or whatever that goes down to the octagon or whatever, and then when Mark Hunt does whoop his ass, because Mark Hunt is gonna whoop his ass, they throw a WWE belt, like fake, you know, that like you get from like Meyer or whatever, on him or whatever, as just kind of like another F you.
All right. Have you guys seen the Snowden preview?
No.
Okay, the Snowden preview, he has to sneak all these files through. So he puts it in a Rubik's Cube, and he cleverly throws it to the security guard, asking him if he can do it as he goes through security. Then the guy gives him the Rubik's Cube. It never gets scanned. That's the UFC getting into one of their events. Like, let's,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not easy. They're going to be like, that belt ain't going anywhere in there, dude. You can put it back in your car. Seriously, it's going to be tough to get in. I'm predicting Mark Hunt.
He's
on fire.
Yep.
I don't know what it does to Brock's WWE career, but I think it's kind of cool. And this is why I'll say it's cool. Is that Brock before was not in WWE. He was just MMA Brock, and then had a lot of medical problems with it. I believe it was intestines or his colon. Had surgery. Aleister Overeem put him out. Then he returned to WWE. I think there is a world in which I like boxers that fight MMA. I like MMA people that fight boxing. I don't see why more wrestlers can't do this. I don't see why Ronda, if she gets her head right, couldn't have a wrestling career but still train. I mean, look how much time Jimmy has on his hands per week. Jimmy could easily be a wrestler and also a star of MMA or boxing if he trained. I mean, these guys have a lot of time on their hands.
That sounds like an insult, Jimmy.
I'd like to see
an insult. It's all right.
No. I'd like to see The Rock.
No, it's an insult, but that's all right.
I'd like to see The Rock. I think that would be cool. It would never happen.
The Rock is a busy guy.
Would never
happen. The Rock is a very busy guy because he's doing movies
and
he's doing. Yeah, he's doing movies.
It would never happen.
He's doing that TV show on HBO called Ballers,
which is not very good, by the way.
No, I haven't seen it. But
do yourself a favor.
Yeah,
keep it that way.
Yeah, but yeah, he's got like a million things going on. But and from a WWE standpoint, he's the same thing. Where every once in a great while, he'll make an appearance, which I predict you'll see Ronda and The Rock versus Stephanie and Triple H at WrestleMania. But yeah, I mean, I see that too, but then it also kind of becomes a little bit of a joke, because look at CM Punk.
Yeah, that's where I was going next.
Yeah, CM Punk, you know, quit wrestling to become an MMA fighter, and UFC was like, oh yeah, we're going to put, and we haven't heard from him because he sucks. He's been, you know, any videos that's coming out of his training camp, he sucks. He is not ready for the octagon, like, at all.
That was our big beef, and I don't know if you listened to the show, probably not. But my big beef with Josh and Mike was that CM Punk had no MMA experience, although a strong wrestling background and stuff. And he was given a shot in UFC, and I thought, you know, that's a shot that could go to, like, my friend James Gray.
Yeah,
there's a lot of
absolutely.
People that shot could go to. And then since he's been in the UFC, it's become a bigger joke because he's gotten injured, he's not been ready. And how long has he been in the UFC? A year and a half?
Something like that, yeah.
And he hasn't fought yet.
Yeah.
Isn't August
it's embarrassing.
His first match?
They're saying.
Got announced.
Let's
but
hope it
hasn't
happens.
He been announced for a match before, too?
Yeah,
he got injured.
And he got injured.
Right.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see.
But CM Punk, huge fan favorite. See, my son does watch a little wrestling, so I do remember watching CM Punk. Very popular wrestler.
Yeah.
Held the title for a long time. I remember the announcer saying he's a great champion.
434 days. Longest of the modern era.
But he doesn't have the physical attributes, as you call the beast, that Brock Lesnar has, where Brock Lesnar can ground and pound. He can take somebody down. He's just a beast, a college wrestler.
Well,
that was amazing.
I think that's the main difference, is that CM Punk is a pro wrestler he was a pro wrestler, whereas Brock was a collegiate wrestler national champion that they then recruited to wrestle, do pro wrestling. Like, so he has like he has an actual like pedigree that can be used in UFC.
You know,
whereas CM Punk doesn't. He's just a pro wrestler.
Right. The only other person that you could compare that to is if like Kurt Angle actually decided to go into MMA. He was an Olympic gold medal wrestler who then became a pro wrestler. Now he's so old now, I don't think he would do MMA. But, you know, if he decided to do MMA, that actually could be pseudo-legit because he has a very high pedigree of wrestling background where he might actually be able to do something. But taking a kid who decided to become a pro wrestler and then become an MMA fighter and giving him a UFC contract and proving that was a huge mistake, I don't think we're going to see much more of that cross-promotion kind of stuff.
Yeah. Our good friend Amanda Bobby Cooper is doing very well in the UFC, and you guys were talking about Ronda, her popularity. She's on my Bud Light cans at home right now. I don't know if you guys have seen it. Ronda? Ronda's on.
Well, she's on the box.
Well, no, her signature's on him still.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I mean, huge popularity.
Yeah.
But she's always been very standoffish and stuff like that. Wait until Amanda Bobby Cooper, if she gets going.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Amanda's better looking than Ronda.
She is.
You know, and not standoffish. I mean, she's going to have an
very,
awesome
very
career.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing career.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for
ABC.
And
that's some, you know, this
Friday night.
Well, Friday night, yeah, but Wednesday we find out who she'll be fighting. I was talking to Marv about this beforehand. I actually hope that she fights Kate in the finals, because if she fights Tatiana, if she fights Kate, she can use her, you know, Amanda's, fighting as a strawweight. She's got a bigger frame, so like her last fight against Luciana, she was able to use her size advantage to her advantage. If she fights Kate, she could do the same thing in the finale. But if she fights Tatiana's another big girl. And I don't think she's going to be able to have that size advantage. So
Jimmy,
I hope.
You're taking your life in your hands calling a girl like ABC large frame.
No. They were actually saying that is that she's a... She's muscular for a strawweight.
You never want to tell a woman that she's large framed, especially one that can legitimately whoop ass.
I know, but Brad gets what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
ABC's living at her dream out there, seeing stuff that James Gray is posting. It's absolutely fantastic. And Rochelle will back me up here. So I compare, Josh, like I've been to enough pro fights ringside, and I'm talking the elite level, whether it be boxing or something. And I compare it to like being on the freeway and you just seeing a car going 70 miles per hour and then you see a car going 40 miles per hour. And you can be – you'd be like the 70 mile per hour car is faster. And then like people will be like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about because they've only been around the 40 mile per hour cars, right? But from day one – when I saw what James Gray and ABC could do, Rochelle will verify, I was like, those guys. And there was not many in the state. I was like, they're UFC. And then, like, mm-hmm. everybody else, not a lot of UFC out there. But the only analogy I can give is, like, standing on a freeway and you being next to the best. And you know who is the best. It's just something – they're just better in every aspect. And ABC, Bobby Cooper, who fights out of Scorpion Fighting Systems, is now – she's going to be permanently a part of UFC.
Well, and
she's marketable
absolutely.
And everything.
And anybody, I mean, if you look at anybody who is training out of, I mean, especially James and Amanda, but if you look at anybody who's coming out of Scorpion Fighting Systems, I mean, you have champions there. You have future UFCers, future Bellator fighters, future Invicta fighters. I mean, you got just champions coming out of that camp.
All right, let's go through the rest of my picks, and then we'll talk a little bit more wrestling after the break and a little bit more UFC 200. Misha Tate versus Amanda. I'm going to go Misha Tate.
Yep.
You know, she finally got the belt, so she's going to hold on to it. Unless it's Ronda, then she won't hold on to it. She'll lose Ironbar. But Misha Tate will definitely. Now, the next fight is very interesting because I wanted to move quickly through it. Here you got Jose Aldo.
Yeah.
Jose. Jeez, man, I'm bad with pronunciations today. And Frankie Edgar. And you got Aldo looking ahead to McGregor. He wants mm-hmm. the rematch, says he'd fight McGregor on the street if he sees him.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Frankie Edgar, who's a tough fighter in his own regard. But Aldo, at the time, was like one of the best fighters I had ever seen, too. Mm-hmm. So it's tough for me to know where to go on this one. Weight cut has a lot to do with it.
And that's exactly what I was going to say.
So, you know what? You guys forgive me. I'm going to wait for the weight cut on that one, and we'll post it on our Facebook, facebook.com/radiounderCard. Kane versus Travis Brown. We're going to go Velasquez on that.
Mm-hmm.
Although Travis Brown, he's dating Ronda Rousey, isn't he?
I think that's what she's stating.
Yeah, you're definitely going to lose them. No, I'm joking.
Ouch.
Kane Velasquez. So we're going to go Kane. Kat versus Juliana Pena. We're going to go Juliana Pena. Johnny Hendricks versus Kelvin. We're going to go – oh, man, that's a tough fight, dude. I haven't really thought that out. We'll go Kelvin.
I was going Hendricks.
Dude, actually. I love Hendricks. Big yeah. Ricks, but that's where we're going to go. I'm feeling Kelvin.
Okay.
It's going to happen.
He flipped a coin on that when he was just
yeah.
like, No. I wouldn't do that for people that are going to gamble. TJ Dillashaw, we're going to go him for
yep,
a pick.
Absolutely.
All right, so Sage Northcutt. Here's a guy that finally got his first loss, and everybody was hard on him. But I'm going to pick him to win.
Too. Yep.
Okay? And then we're not going to pick anymore. We got one more pick to do, but I got to see how Aldo comes in.
Okay.
That weight cut against McGregor was tough on him.
And that's
tough
what I was
on McGregor,
say,
too.
Well, I was going to say that's going to be the biggest factor is how he deals with the rehydration now that he can't use the IVs anymore. If he has a good weight cut and he can rehydrate fairly well, then I give it to Aldo. But if the same thing happens that happened with McGregor, one shot and he's going down. We've seen it before.
Yes, but we're going to talk a little bit more wrestling with our good friends from Top Rope Review. You can catch that on podcastdetroit.com anytime. They have what episode are you guys on now?
We are on episode
41.
41, so you can go back.
As of this upcoming week.
All right, so you can go back and listen to 40 or 41 podcasts. Go check them out. They're our friends, and they're on live at 4 p.m. on Sundays. And then SummerSlam's coming up. So that's the question we're going to start back up with you because SummerSlam was my favorite event as a kid, more than even WrestleMania. So we're going to talk a little SummerSlam. We'll be back in like 10 minutes.
You're listening to a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Welcome back to The Undercard, where we're discussing antacids, which is good because I have the same problem.
I take a Prilosec every morning, and I don't get heartburn for anything.
I take
fire
Prilosec or Nexium.
I'm going to use chips on me right
now. Nexium.
Nexium.
I still get it, but I'll take a flamotidine, which is Pepcid, and if I'm, you know.
Well, when I was
feeling extra need,
when I'm still young, I don't have this problem.
Welcome to your 30s.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was gonna say, when I was deployed, I was on a daily dose of retinidine. I think it's what it's called, retinidine.
Yeah,
it's an antacid or
that
whatever. But I had to
you
take
from
that.
Jerking off.
No, that's what the handcuffs were for.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
All right,
didn't work, but yeah.
We're back with Josh and Mike from Top Rope Review. It happens every Sunday at 4. Me and Jimmy are actually going to be joining them this Sunday. We're going to be talking about UFC 200.
I'm not invited?
Yeah, you can come.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
You don't work on weekends. So. And we'll be there.
It's in your contract, Marv. Yeah.
We're going to be talking about all this fun that's going to happen at UFC 200. But also, if UFC 200 isn't your thing and WWE isn't your thing, we want to encourage you to go out and see our friends at XICW, Best of Detroit, happen at the Imperial House. That's actually happening on Saturday as well. So what is some of the stuff you guys are talking about on Top Rope Review? What's going on in the wrestling world right now?
Well, the biggest thing, I think, right now is the brand split. On July 19th, SmackDown, which is normally taped and then shown later in the week, it's going to be live. And they are splitting up the rosters and doing two unique shows. So there's one set of wrestlers who are exclusive to each show.
And they had a draft, right?
Well, so the draft is on, yeah.
Wait. The 19th. Okay, explain this a little bit more. So SmackDown itself is splitting into two?
No. Raw and SmackDown are splitting into two different entities.
They are, but they are, weren't all, they but, were already two different entities.
The difference is they're going to have their own set wrestlers for each show.
I really
so
don't like
there's
it.
Not going to be a lot of crossover. They did it once back in what?
Early 2000s.
Yeah,
they
like
did this.
Wait, are you talking about when they did the invasion with ECW and WCW and everything kind of came
different.
Together and then they did the big draft and they split it off?
Yeah.
It's like same thing.
So a couple years ago, they brought everybody back together and
they formed a super
SmackDown
show.
Kind of became a Raw rehash. Like, so you'd see rematches or reconfigurations from the same feuds on SmackDown, and then like a half an hour's worth of highlights from Raw, and now they have decided to make them mutually exclusive shows again. And the one way that it's different and might actually make it like that it's different than the way they did it before is that SmackDown is going to be live, so there's more pressure on the fans to watch because it's not going to it like there's more pressure on everybody because they have to put on a good live show, but then we also, you might actually miss something good. Whereas right now, I mean, I host a wrestling podcast and I usually just read the SmackDown.
I haven't watched SmackDown.
Nothing good happens on SmackDown.
At least a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's no point to. We
it's
can
just
read
a rehash
it all online.
Of Raw 90% of the time.
Oh, wow.
No storyline advancement.
The only time I've ever watched SmackDown is there was a SmackDown taping in Detroit a year or two back, and I went to that. But other than that.
Were you looking for your sign in the crowd?
I didn't even watch SmackDown after that.
Can you explain a little more? I guess I don't watch wrestling. So what really is the difference now? Like what?
Okay.
Can you explain that a little better?
So
I'm not getting it.
So right now there are two shows, but they share one roster. The show on Monday Night Raw, is live. And then there's another show that's taped on Tuesdays and aired on Thursdays called SmackDown.
Right.
And it's basically just a rehash of what happened on Raw. Now they're going to have two shows.
That's what's confusing me. So like the same matches?
No, same show.
Well, it'll be sometimes rematches, or if, say, there's a big match at a pay-per-view coming up where several guys are feuding over the same thing. So, like, the Money in the Bank ladder match, there's eight guys in that match.
Okay.
So they're like, okay, this week on SmackDown, we're going to take these two guys from that group and these two guys from that group and make them face each other.
Okay.
Like rehashing the same things, but not necessarily the same.
Okay.
I'm going to bet dollars to donuts right now that Facebook Live made them have to not tape SmackDown anymore. I bet you. Facebook Live has changed so much. Because, like, you can see... If you're there, they're at the event. Right?
They're premature on that because Apple just patented technology that will shut your phone down
At concerts and like stadium events and stuff.
Well,
like
and we talked about that with pay per view, but I'm saying that's probably their answer to Facebook Live right now.
Well, I'm saying it won't be a factor because
right. And there's also a new thing with concerts. I forget. I just read an article, but there's a couple of performers that if you go to the concert, you actually have to give them your cell phone. They give you a tag. They lock up your cell phone, and then you get your cell phone after the concert.
Yeah, I would leave.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't do that at us.
Who's doing that?
Especially it's like a I'll see if I can find
sounds
it.
Sounds like
but
some
I know.
Gene
yeah.
Simmons would do or something.
No. It was some pop singer or something, I think.
Oh, screw that, dude. Yeah. And can you imagine the line after the concert to get back your phone?
Yeah, exactly.
Gene longer loves the than attention long? Too much to do that.
Uh-huh. What'd you
Gene
say?
Needs the attention too much to do that.
Kiss's number one fan.
Okay,
right
maybe I'm wrong then. I just think that Facebook Live has made things difficult.
That might be a factor, but
I think a lot of it is it's stale, and they can see in the ratings.
Ratings
that no
are
one's
in the
watching
toilet.
SmackDown, so they're shitting themselves. They're trying to figure out ways to
bless you,
thank you,
to get those ratings back up. So they figure, let's try this brand split thing again. It might not have worked the best the first time we did it, but it'll get ratings up for now. And they're a publicly traded company, so they're really just trying to make sure their stockholders are comfortable and aren't going to back out. So I think a lot of it's making the stockholders happy, and I think that's, hey, our ratings are going to get back up if we do this brand split.
Okay, I'm sorry. So it was Alicia Keys. Other people have done is Dave Chappelle, The Lumineers, and Louis C.K., and also Adele, Chris Rock, Guns N' Roses.
So wait, so they actually make you turn your phone in?
Yep. So there's a little pouch. It's called a Yondor pouch. You put your cell phone in the Yondor pouch. It locks it so that nobody can get into your cell phone. They give you like a ticket, like a valet ticket. They lock up your cell phone.
But the line to
that's
get, like,
what
you're
exactly.
right. Like, oh,
yep.
my God.
They have to have, like, 16 kiosks.
I don't.
Not only
don't,
that, but what if you're having to meet someone? Are you allowed to go back and forth with to get your phone?
I just said
like
that lock up.
No, you're absolutely right. I would just not go to that concert.
Yeah.
And it kind of disappoints me that Louis C.K. is doing it because I wanted to see him. But
yeah,
well, I think it's a stand up thing. It's like when a lot of those you listed are comedians, and I think if you record a song that everyone's heard at Alicia Keys concert, it's not really going to hurt that song. But like that, you might go to a Louis C.K. thing, and you're taking his set that you're not going to hear anywhere else, and then putting
no.
it on the internet.
No, I've done stand up. That set is the same one he's done.
What if he's trying new jokes out?
A show where people have paid $50 to see you is not where you try new jokes out.
Very true.
I mean, I'm not. Maybe he throws a couple in there, but he. I don't. He shouldn't be that worried about it. He's doing that same show every night. And the fact that somebody records it and might put it out there, like, to me, they're being very short-sighted. Like, yeah, okay, like, intellectual property, blah, blah, blah. But really, like, you have to look at it as, like, free marketing. Like,
no,
if I record
exactly.
part of it and put it out and go, oh, my God, we're seeing Louis C.K., it's so great. Well, then maybe I'm like, well, I want to see the rest of that, right? Okay. So I'm going to go.
And that's why I think Gene Simmons is against it. Because he's all about the marketing.
Oh, yeah.
But then again, if somebody records a joke and then posts it online, what if it's a bad joke? Then you have no control over what's out there.
But you did it for all those people. I mean,
or what if it's a piece of a bit and they don't give you the full
right? And so it's not funny because you missed the setup or you missed whatever. Because then you have no control over what's going.
I also think you're giving a little too much credit for how many people watch Joe's Facebook live stream.
Well, no, because once you're done going live, it posts it to Facebook.
I get that, but are you out there trolling Facebook Live?
No, like, but I mean, if my friends had posted it,
but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think
Facebook
giving,
Live's out of
if they all you need to do hashtag Louis C.K.
and it's going to come.
Especially if you're at the level of Louis C.K. Bad Louis C.K. joke getting out.
Yeah.
First of all, a bad Louis C.K. joke probably better than a good
most of
any
the,
other
yeah.
joke. But like, I just I don't I think it's just a bad idea to worry that much about it. Like a bad, even if a bad one gets out there, you're Louis C.K. You have your own show, which is hilarious. All your other stand up is hilarious.
Now the article it didn't say that they're doing it for all their concerts. It just said that at this specific place. Where this specific event was going on.
Just
that
Detroit.
No, it wasn't even Detroit. It was someplace out in Silicon Valley they were locking up the phones.
I would bet that it's actually the promoter or whatever of the show.
Maybe that's who it is and not the artists themselves. It's just the venue.
At the same time, the artist could say, like, no, I don't care.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
They can do
it. And I also think they're doing that. If it is that specific venue, they're probably testing it out, seeing how well it.
Yeah,
and that's another thing too. Yeah,
yeah.
They could be beta testing the whole concept.
Could be some company out in Silicon Valley who's like, "Hey, let's try this out, see if it works," and it could backfire in their face.
Yeah, like I said, Apple just patented technology to do it like on the phone. So like now I don't need to check my phone.
Right.
You know, I assume it'll be once you walk into the concert, like you basically go into airplane mode. And,
right.
Speaking of promoters making bad decisions, though, if it is the promoters that are doing that, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, mentally unfit to stand trial, but he'll be signing autographs at WrestleCon.
Wow. Awesome.
Like, wow. Don't you have a lawyer to tell you that? Probably shouldn't do that, Jimmy.
Sorry, that's me.
You don't need to be mentally stable to sign. Can you sign your name?
I thought you had to be pretty far gone not to face a murder charge. Like, if you can sign your name, you should probably be up on your murder charge.
But the whole thing of mentally unstable, like, it means that you can't comprehend that, like,
what you did.
You can't comprehend what you've done, that it was wrong, that there are consequences. Like, you just don't.
And he could just have a stamp that signs.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, too. You can sign your name, but you can still have dementia.
So this is going to happen next year. Wrestling legend Jimmy Superfly Snuka will be signing autographs soon instead of standing trial for the decade-old unsolved. And I don't mean to laugh because murder's not funny, but for the standing trial of decades-old unsolved murder of his girlfriend. A month after being found mentally unfit to stand trial, Snuka has been announced as part of the upcoming WrestleCon 2017. The 73-year-old will appear at the events during WrestleMania 33 in Orlando.
Did you say 73?
Yeah, which kicks off in next April. So,
well, good for him.
Well, WrestleCon, they usually just get anyone they can get to sign, so it is what it is. I mean, like I said,
got to pay those legal fees somehow.
We got O.J. Simpson signing Isotoner gloves over in the corner too. If you're interested,
man.
That's not too soon. 1993 is not too soon.
If he gets out on parole, he's in jail right now.
It's still too soon.
Before we do
were those
what's
Isotoners,
on,
by the way, I'm not sure they were.
Before we do what's on tap, I want to give you guys a challenge really quick. Okay, you guys are our wrestling gurus over here. Okay. Who wants to be Raw? Who wants to be SmackDown?
I'm Raw, obviously.
I'll be SmackDown.
All right, we're going to have Jimmy coin toss. We're going to have you guys draft who you would draft.
Oh, boy.
Your wrestlers. I'm not sure how many they go up to, but we want to hear your draft picks after What's on Tap by Falling Down Beer Company and a break. All right?
All right, so we're going to What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. Hold on. I got the coin.
Yeah, but they can use it.
All right, once again, it's What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. We're going to start off again, once again, with boxing. July 8th in Mexico City, Telemundo, we have Antonio Moran versus Juan Pablo Sanchez, 10 rounds for the lightweights. July 9th at Trenton, New Jersey, PBC on ESPN, we have Mario Berrios versus Davis Bosscherio. 12 rounds for the IBF Junior Lightweight Eliminator. At Lemoore, California, Yune Mas. We have Jose Ramirez versus Tomas Mendez. 10 rounds for the Junior Welterweights. At San Mateo, California, Sports Espanol, we have Albert Paguera versus Cesar Juarez. 12 rounds for the Junior Featherweights. Brooks, California, we have Manuel Tino Avila versus Prosper Ankara, 10 rounds for the featherweights. Monterrey, Mexico, we have Miguel Roman versus Yuropi Murakado, 10 rounds for the junior lightweights. At Rio Rancho, New Mexico, we have Fidel Maldonado versus Pepino Cuevas, 8 rounds for the lightweights. July 11th in Russia, we have Sergey Kovalev versus Isaac Chalemba, 12 rounds for Kovalev's WBO, IBF, WBA light heavyweight title. And then July 12th at Nice, California, PBC on Fox Sports 1, we have Levan Gavamichana versus Dominique Dalton, 10 rounds for the junior middleweights. Moving on to MMA, July 5th, we have Tough Enough, 2016 IMMAF World Championship, Day 1 in Las Vegas, Nevada. On July 6th, we have Part 2. On July 7th, we have UFC Fight Night 90, Dos Anjos versus Alvarez in Las Vegas. July 7th, we also have the 2016 IMMAF World Championship Day 3. July 8th, UFC The Ultimate Fighter 23 finale, where you can see Amanda Bobby Cooper facing her opponent, which we'll find out who it is on Wednesday. July 8th, Shamrock FC, Shamrock 272, Kansas City, Missouri. Also July 8th, Tough Enough Day 4 in Nevada. July 8th, King of the Cage Ultimate Collision in the Black Bear Casino Resort, Carlton, Minnesota. July 8th, we also have XFFC 10 Out of the Ashes in Grande Prairie, Alberta, Canada. And July 9th, we have big UFC 200 Comer versus Jones 2, the T-Mobile Arena, Las Vegas, Nevada. And July 10th, we have Tough Enough IMMAF World Championships Day 5 in Las Vegas, Nevada. And once again, that's What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. We are going to go to a couple of songs, and then we will be right back.
You're listening to a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Welcome back to The Undercard.
There we go. Whoa!
God, mother of...
There we go.
Welcome back to the episode 195.
Yeah, right. Now they're on.
We're talking a little wrestling, and then we're going to finish up with UFC 200. And then if you stick around the end of the podcast, we're going to talk about where 4th of July ranks in your holiday list, because in Michigan, 4th of July is a pretty big thing.
It is. Before we do all that, though, Brad, really quick, I want to send a shout-out to my buddy AJ, who's listening right now. AJ, what's going on?
Sup, AJ?
Yo, that's Jimmy saying hi as well. Be good and don't eat all that cake.
Hi, AJ.
Eat all the cake, AJ. Eat all
Quiet,
the cake.
Jimmy. Don't listen to him, AJ.
So I decided to give Josh and Mike from Top Rope Review on Sundays, 4 p.m. on Podcast Detroit a homework assignment. So they Raw and SmackDown are separating, and so there's going to be this draft. But I'm curious who they would pick in their drafts, and I want to compare it to see where, you know, if they're right, the first person picked in not, and I want to know why they picked these certain people. So we did a coin toss. This was very official. Marvin showed them the coin just like in an NFL game.
Oh, absolutely.
Said, this is heads, this is tails. Yeah,
absolutely.
And I believe
– Josh won it, right?
Josh won it. I don't know if Mike called it. Mike lost the coin toss.
Yeah. So, but he chose heads, which really, I mean, that's the way to go.
We are going to see, I don't know, does one of you guys want to be Raw, one want to be SmackDown? Does it really matter? Or you just be Team Josh?
I think they worked that out before we left.
Josh is Raw, and I'm going to be SmackDown.
All right,
Josh. I'm older. I've been on, you know, I've been broadcasting a little bit longer than Mike, so.
Oh, he pulled the
seniority. Also, Josh does not wear underwear, so he's always Raw.
You got it.
All right, so Josh, your first pick.
So can I just say, so we decided to do two people from the upper card, or like the top of the card, two from the mid card, a tag team, and a woman's wrestler. So that's...
Dude, I love that.
We're doing
you guys
we're doing
broke
a face
down.
And a heel for each category.
Yeah, for each category.
That's awesome.
All right, so my first pick is...
I want to thank you guys for taking this very seriously.
Dude, I love it.
Well, it's rushed. So. Well, it's serious, but very well, just,
like, we are huge wrestling marks, and we I think we are kind of enjoying this.
That's awesome. Totally.
Brad, I think if we had a little bit more time, we'd enjoy it.
Yeah.
We get deeper into it.
Brad gives Jimmy and I homework assignments all the time, and we're like, eh.
Hey, man, they
well,
made
he gives
DBA
us a homework assignment, like, the second before we
yeah,
go
Yeah, like just
air.
Like you did these guys. Yeah. But they took it way more so you well, and I are just like,
no, we take it seriously.
We do. Really? Go back and listen to that superhero bracket episode again.
He changed the rules. He changed because we actually had printout lists.
Yeah, we were.
And he changed what we were doing.
All right. Yeah. Let's hear the draft.
All right, Josh, pick him for
Josh to go first.
All right,
is somebody keeping track?
Yes. My first pick, my top heel for my show, is the architect, Seth Rollins.
All right.
Ooh. Oh.
No longer a member of the Shield?
No longer.
That's the guy from 40-Year-Old Virgin and Superbad. And,
Seth Rogen.
Yes, no. Exact same guy.
Wrong guy.
Cool. All right, I got to ask Josh really quick. You picked a heel first. Interesting. Yeah. Although a heel, very popular with crowds, or why is he number one overall?
Well, WrestleMania main event, Hulkamania would have never happened without Roddy Piper. Without a good foil, there is no hero. So
I love that strategy. We got to go on to Mike, who is picking for SmackDown. You'll be live. You will no longer be taped.
And I just realized I kind of shot myself in the foot. my heel that I picked is Brock, and he'll only be there probably once every 4 months. So kind of messed myself.
And he has his own
but
rules, so he'll
when
probably
he
be
shows
on Raw
up to
too.
SmackDown. People are going to be watching. I'll tell you that.
Not if he loses next weekend.
Oh, to Mark Hunt. So you also went with a heel for your first pick, Mike, thus proving what you guys talked about earlier, how big of a name Brock Lesnar is. Even though he won't be fighting week in and week out, you're just okay with him coming into the ring, talking on the mic. He's that big of a storyline guy for you.
Well, he won't be talking. Well, Paul Heyman will be there a lot of the time. Doing the work for Brock.
So picking Brock is actually a 2-for-1 because with Brock, you automatically
greatest
get
manager
Paul
of all time,
yeah,
they
Paul
say.
Heyman. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before we go too much further, for people who don't know, when you're saying you picked a heel, what does that mean?
Bad guy.
Okay. And the
like
good
Mark,
guys.
You're the heel.
Good
of the
guy's
character.
A face. Yeah. A baby face.
Face. Okay. Face yep. And heel. Got it.
Yep.
All right. The third pick overall goes to Josh, picking for Raw.
So this is my top face. Mike might be surprised because I dipped into NXT for this one.
Okay.
Finn Balor.
I'll give it to you, and that's just because I think we both want him up. But I do think he's coming back a heel.
Now, here's a guy that we're totally unfamiliar with. Okay. You got to give us a little background.
So, yeah. Finn Balor, so NXT is kind of their developmental territory.
But they were at the Arnold.
Yes. And their developmental territory has gotten so good that it's actually better than what they put on the major networks. Like,
is it because the storylines are so out there they're trying to push the boundaries? Or
It's almost like the minor leagues or like college. Probably compared to collegiate football?
The reason it's better is because they focus more on wrestling and so, like, on Raw, you'll have, in the 3 hours, you'll have an hour and a half of that be promos.
Yep.
And with NXT, they strip away a lot of that stuff. And they sign all these, like, indie darlings. So, like, guys that we've been watching on the independent circuit that we want to come up to WWE, it's, like, full of those kind of guys. So it's a huge fan favorite, and the wrestling is a lot better.
So I said I haven't watched SmackDown in over a year. I try not to miss a single NXT.
Yep.
Because
that good.
Yes. Yep. And they pack.
And
that
that's not
whole
even on TV, it's
wrestling.
On the network.
Yeah.
So
I'm paying for it.
All right, we gotta move on to SmackDown. Mike is picking next. Go ahead, Mike.
Going Roman.
No, boo.
Okay, the kids are gonna eat him up.
Is he a face?
He's a face
a
if you're
difficult.
A child or a woman.
Yeah.
If you're a 30-something, 20-something year old man, he gets booed mercilessly from the crowd.
Now this is interesting because your rules is you had to have a heel and face. So what are you going to hold?
Well, I thought he was going to pick John Cena.
He is a face. Okay.
So I thought logically, I thought he was going Cena. So I picked
forget
their
Cena.
Second Cena.
He's the guy they're training to be Cena.
Yeah.
All right. Roman was also a member of the Shield at one time, right? So are Seth and Roman on good terms?
No.
No.
Okay.
So
interesting. So let's put it in realistic terms. Your guys would meet up on the big events, right? So SummerSlam. These two leagues combined.
Yes.
Yeah, so, ideally.
So that and we didn't say this earlier, but that's so now it's going to be there will be two pay per views a month, one for each show, and then the four big shows, the ones I said are the Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and WrestleMania will feature both brands.
And is it the same deal though? If you get the WWE Network, you get all the pay per views.
Oh yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, you get cool. All that stuff.
All right, we go back over to Josh, who is picking for Raw. This is the fifth pick overall.
This is my mid card heel, Kevin Owens.
Okay, I need to change my heel.
So Kevin Owens is another one. He's one of these. He's a hugely popular on the independent circuit, and he's been tearing it up in the last year. He's been on the main roster on Raw. He actually beat John Cena in his first match on Raw.
John Cena, which is huge.
Yeah. And he's the everyman. He wears a sleeveless shirt down to the ring, and he's chubby.
Okay.
So, I love him already.
Yeah.
So is he kind of like another Mick Foley or?
If Mick Foley was a little bit no, not really. No.
Okay.
He's the everyman, but he's not like he's the guy that like he blocks people on Twitter and he's real sharp tongued and yeah he's
what's
not.
His name again?
Okay. Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens.
All right, we're gonna go six to Mike. He is picking.
I'll go Jericho.
Ooh, the gift of Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Drink it in.
Wait. Chris Jericho?
Chris Jericho.
Why, he's still around?
Yes.
Wow.
And okay. Is he a heel now?
He is a heel.
He's
right
a heel
now.
Right now.
Mid-card heel.
Yep.
Wow.
Taken away from his Monday Night Jericho. We're going to do Tuesday Night
Now,
Jericho.
I got to ask you this. My son, he had one of the wrestling videos, and they talked about some of the greatest wrestlers of all time. A lot of people put Y2K Jericho as one of the best of all time. Just...
Y2J.
Whatever.
I'm glad I wasn't going to do it. It's his show.
No, correct me. But they say he's one of the best of all time.
Yeah, well, so Chris Jericho is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, but I didn't pick him because I wanted to throw Mike
off. Actually met Chris Jericho.
So have I.
Autorama. Yeah.
I haven't.
I met Chris Jericho at Ramshorn.
Well, there you go. You got
Scotty
me.
Too Hottie, Edge, and Chris Jericho were at the Ramshorn in Dearborn. They're... SmackDown or one of the shows was in town, and Sky Too Hottie, I guess, knows somebody who lives in Taylor, and they were there eating at that Ramshorn. This was back in like early 2000s.
Well, you dated it by saying Sky Too Hottie was there.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And I was like, and I got up and I'm like, that can't be. And I'm like, it is. And they were all so small. Like, that's what like got me more than anything else. They were all tiny.
Well, we were doing promotions at Hooters. This is even before the podcast Detroit days. And Big Show.
Yeah.
Man and Eight.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
He showed up. Oh, my God, yeah. And we put like, one of the smallest ring girls next to it, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it looked like a badly Photoshopped picture.
Really?
Like, somebody just had perspective all off and everything. It was pretty funny.
I think we're going to find out that he's not actually human. He's, like, some, you know, he's, like, the next branch in the evolutionary chain. Like, he's something else all entirely.
All right, seven. We go back to Josh, who is picking for Raw.
The King of Swing, Cesaro.
I don't even know how to spell that.
THAT.
What?
That. No, nothing.
That.
Nothing. Come on. Whatever. That was funny.
Cricket.
All right.
Yeah, so I was waiting.
He's a mid-level face.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. He's a really good wrestler.
I almost picked him, but I had a feeling you were going to. So I picked Dolph Ziggler.
All right.
So you're just gonna lose every week on your show.
Not on SmackDown, you won't.
Dolph Ziggler's a guy that's like an amazing wrestler, but they use him to lose and make the other... like.
He was a bad guy last I checked, but now he's...
Well, he's a good guy. He's been a good guy for a while, but he's the guy that loses to like the up-and-comers to make him look good.
Okay.
Well, just remember, you guys are in charge of your own promotion, so you can do whatever you want with your guys. You don't have to keep them doing the same storyline.
All right, number nine, going to Josh for his last pick, I believe.
So we have tag teams and women left. Which one do you want to do first, Mike?
Let's do tag. We can bust out tag teams real easy. Hopefully.
Enzo and Cass.
I knew you were going to do it. That's why I chose New Day.
arguably two of the hottest things in WWE.
And they're both heels, right? Heel teams?
Face.
No, they're both faces.
Oh, they're both face teams. Okay.
Is either one of them champions right now?
Yeah.
New Day is.
New Day is? Okay.
So I'm bringing the belts to SmackDown.
You know who I'm happy you guys didn't pick? That Kingston guy. I can't stand him.
He did.
He's part of the New Day.
Oh.
Well, yeah.
Sorry about that. When he comes out and he does the jumping and all that, I'm not a huge fan of that. So you got to pick a female fighter there really quick, Josh. Give it to us.
Sasha Banks. You had to know that was coming.
I still chose her.
Sounds like a porn star to me.
I'll go Becky.
Becky who?
Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch.
Are those guys heels? Not that it matters, but heels or faces?
They're both faces right now, and Sasha Banks is arguably one of the most over people in the company, male or female.
There's an Irish one right now. Somebody messaged me.
I just picked
Becky
Lynch.
Becky Lynch.
Yeah, that everybody's going crazy over, and I'm like, I don't know. We do cover occasionally.
She's Scottish.
No, okay. She's Irish.
Is she Irish? Irish.
Bright,
yes.
Bright red hair or something. Yeah.
I don't know why I said Scottish.
Well, there you go.
She says, never mind.
We're going to post these up on our Facebook, probably after the show, facebook.com/radio_undercard, and we're going to see how close Top Rope Review is to this. Maybe you guys can revisit this again on Sunday. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's once again go through UFC 200, the picks that we had. These are just the winners that we're going to go through. But let's see what Jimmy has, too. And I don't know if Marv has made picks, but we'll ask him.
I will go with everything Brad said.
Cormier versus Jones. Who do you got, Jimmy? I had Jones.
I got Jones.
All right.
Yep.
Lesnar versus Hunt.
Hunt.
All right. Amanda versus Misha.
Misha.
All right. So far we're on the same page. I had Jones, Hunt, Tate. All right. Aldo versus Egger.
Yep.
We got to wait for the weigh-ins. Kane versus Travis.
I had Kane.
All right. It's because of Ronda Rousey. You need to say. Juliana versus Kat.
I have Kat, actually.
All right. So there, Jimmy differs. Johnny Hendricks versus Kelvin.
I have Johnny Hendricks.
All right. There we go.
Well, and I will just go ahead and say that my picks for the big winners are going to be Reebok and UFC.
TJ versus Rafael.
Dillashaw.
All right. And then Sage versus
Sage.
Enrique.
Yep.
All right. There we go.
Yep. So there's only two that we differ on.
Can't wait for the event. I'm not going to hype it up anymore. But, I mean, Jones versus Cormier, we're probably going to spend a half. I mean, this thing's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it
because
really will.
If Jones wins, he's going to rub it in his face. If somehow DC out of nowhere wins, he's going to rub it in Jones's face. But, I mean, that's worth the price of admission. Lesnar, to me, and no offense, guys, is just a little bit of a circus sideshow to kind of get the masses going. I hope Misha Tate continues her championship run here. I hope she does get a shot at Ronda, and I hope she beats Ronda, actually. I really do hope that happens, maybe at the Madison Square Garden thing. But yeah, it's awesome. I mean, just UFC 200. This is what we've waited for. The cards are going to suck after this for a while. Just wait. And that's it. That's our take on UFC 200. Thanks for listening to the undercard on that. But I did have a question. I did give these guys advance homework, and we're going to let Top Rope Review guys stick around and help answer it. I seem to notice that, especially my blue-collar friends that work in the Big Three, that 4th of July is a big deal. I mean, this one friend of mine who works at Ford Motor Company admitted online that he spent $750 on fireworks. That's a lot of money. And he went out on the boat. They were on the lake. They did skiing. They did everything. Kind of a little bit of everything we did, they did, grilling and everything. And I was just curious where 4th of July ranked with the people in our audience, and not only where it ranks in our audience, but with the people that are in the studio here. So I was going to go around the room and just kind of maybe tell us where 4th of July ranks and then just give us your best. Yeah, go Liz first. I mean, where's 4th of July rank out of all the holidays? We know your favorite's Flag Day, but after that.
Why is there so much hate for Arbor Day?
I feel like it changed like as I got older, though, because 4th of July used to be like my number one. Like I used to just,
as a kid?
As a kid, yeah.
Christmas, where you got presents, lost to 4th of July.
I mean, yeah, because
you
I
never burnt yourself
wanted,
on a sparkler or a metal sparkler.
Yes.
That was part of the fun,
yes,
though,
I
right?
That third degree burn.
Oh, they were second degree at most.
I would probably maybe say second now.
Oh, okay.
I would probably say second.
All right, what's your first?
Thanksgiving.
Because I love of food.
Yep. Love it.
Marv, what do you got?
Well, so I think I mentioned before, so my mom's birthday is 4th of July. Mm-hmm. So, like, 4th of July, like, the day was always sort of, like, it was more so mom's birthday. Right? So, like, I mean, we always celebrated and stuff, but, like, I mean, I guess in my head, like, it was just more like, well, it's mom's birthday. So, like, to rank it as, like, a holiday is kind of weird to me. I mean, it's definitely up there, like, as like, one of my favorite days. And I think that has to do a lot with, and probably this is the case for a lot of people, is it's sort of like the official, unofficial start of summer.
Yep.
Right? Like, so, I mean, summer starts a couple weeks earlier in June, but, like, that's the first holiday in summer, right? So that's where you kick it off, and, like, what could be more American than celebrating independence by blowing stuff up and
gunpowder.
Exactly, right? So, I mean, it's always a holiday that it's always a day that I liked, but it's more so my mom's birthday, I guess, than Independence Day. So,
what would be your first?
Just probably Halloween.
Halloween, yeah, sweet. All right. Josh.
See, now you want to change yours? Is that what you're saying?
she's like, I forgot Halloween counts as a holiday.
Yeah.
No.
And then after Halloween,
I thought you were only talking Christian holidays. Come on.
After Halloween is Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Okay. Well. So, yeah. All right, Josh, where's 4th of July rank?
Well, so I think more so, like, as a kid, we went camping a lot, and 4th of July was always, like, a really busy time at the campground. So, but I think nowadays, so probably higher up, but nowadays it would fall probably, like, third behind Halloween and Christmas.
Yeah, see, that's actually
Now, that's interesting, Josh. Do you have kids?
No.
But Christmas ranks high.
Well, I still get presents.
I understand that, but I was just curious.
There's a general feeling around Christmas,
yeah,
right?
Well, and I think the other thing, too, is I've been lucky enough in my, like, post-college years to have been in a couple jobs. Like, so the job I'm in now is the first time where I don't get, like, a pretty good chunk. Or, like, I worked at other places that kind of closed a lot during that time period. So it was, like, I still kind of had that, like, little kid, like, Christmas break feel.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So up until just recently, so yeah, even with less presence as I've gotten older, having the time off is still pretty cool.
I think Marv hit on something as we work around the room pretty good, though. I mean, if 4th of July is, you know, if we declared our independence in November, not a good holiday. It probably doesn't even rank in anyone's five. It has to do with summer a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
So we lucked out that our forefathers decided July 4th to do it. All right.
It was all political. Don't let them fool you.
How about Mike? What do you got?
I think it'd be two or three. Since I was a kid, we would always have a huge firework display in our court.
Mm-hmm.
And since me and my friend, whose birthday is the 4th, we'd have a giant block party. Me and him would he's always been into construction since we were probably 8 years old. So we would close down the street without city permits. We kind of, like, were street enforcers, and it was always a fun time.
Were you in a gang?
No, we were construction workers, Josh.
Ah, okay.
We were working.
So you're in the mob.
Sure. So I don't know, that's always been fun up until, well, and then as you could get older and you could start drinking, it just got better and better. So I think it's like every two holiday or three. Yeah.
There's nothing better than mixing drinking and high explosives.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Everyone remembers their first taste of real eggnog.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy, where's it rank? Oh, did you give us your best, though? What is your best?
My best that I've
your
had?
Your favorite holiday.
Oh, probably Christmas. Just,
Christmas?
Yeah.
Any kids?
No.
All right. None that you know about, right?
I should know about.
I don't know. All right, Jimmy, what do you got?
You know, it actually depends. If I'm with somebody, then it ranks, like, 4th. But if I'm not with somebody, then it actually ranks 2nd. Because I hate Christmas and Thanksgiving, like, when I'm not with somebody and I have to go to, like, family events by myself.
Okay.
Like, it bothers me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bothers me a lot. So those become less fun for me if I'm not with somebody. But if I am with somebody, then it goes Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween, 4th of July. If I'm not with somebody, then it goes Halloween, 4th of July, Christmas, Thanksgiving.
I'm going to tell you the meanest thing right now. Uncle Sam doesn't want you in a relationship, then. He wants to be number two.
Yeah, I know.
Uncle Sam is rooting against
you. Uncle Sam is the reason that I'm not in a relationship, so.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Dark, Jimmy.
It's true, though. I mean, honestly, it really is true.
Rochelle, give us our...
Tell us about how happy that. You are on holidays.
Well, I 4th of July, I guess it's not much to it anymore. There's not much to it anymore. He doesn't like fireworks.
I don't.
I like to watch them just with my kids, but I don't like to go and sit with like 10,000 people with bug spray on and have to go out there like 5 hours early just to find a spot. I don't know. I could really care less.
You really don't like the inconvenience of it.
I could really care less about 4th of July.
4th of July is a very inconvenient
holiday. Well, what's your favorite holiday then? So it doesn't rank top five.
Oh, no. Halloween.
All right.
That's my girl.
As we were driving.
A little Samhain for you.
The beginning story I told of the episode where we were driving the 4th of July, I was telling Rochelle as we're driving. I was more fascinated with the people in the lawn chair in like the Norman Rockwell feel of 4th of July, the people going to the fireworks. I didn't want to see the fireworks. I just wanted to see how families were together in the bonfires as we drove by them and stuff. I like that aspect of 4th of July, the Norman Rockwell feel of it. For one day, everyone remembers, you know, what America can be and what we went through. So I think it's really cool in that regard. But it isn't a top three or four. God, it's probably half now. I would say Thanksgiving and Christmas. Christmas because I have, coming from retail, you hate Christmas and you have a kid, and then you love Christmas because you get to experience it through their eyes. But Thanksgiving, just because you don't have to worry about gift giving. Not only do you not have to worry about gift giving, it's just kind of a relaxing day. You wake up in your pajamas, you turn on the parade. You watch the Lions lose, and you just have
unless
fun.
Unless you're in the kitchen cooking all day.
True. That's a possibility. But
Brad's like, that never crossed my mind.
If you need me to barbecue the turkey this year, I'll be out there.
Let him know now because he'll need to start the fire like tomorrow.
He'll get those coals a burning for November.
He said after the fact yesterday, it was like the coals were still hot at like what?
12 hours late.
He goes, so we could just start it first thing in the morning. We just grill all day.
That's right. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have that Norman Rockwell feel about 4th of July? Like I like that about 4th of July. Everyone putting flags out on their front porch. Yeah. Everybody having that. I could care less about fireworks. I could care less about I hate parades. Daniel Tosh has the best joke about it. Just run towards where the parade is coming from, and you can get through it quick. But I like the it's the greatest joke ever. He goes, parades suck. Just run towards the end of it, and you get it done in a minute. But, you know, the atmosphere of, like, just having a day off, people lawn chairs and stuff like that, that's what I like about 4th of July. The rest of it, you know. The fireworks shop on every corner and everything like that, I could live with that.
I don't know. I still had to work, so.
That's true. She had to work. I didn't work, I was grilling all day. So.
Well, he was watching a fire.
he goes, go watch it. Go make sure that it stays on.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to tend to that. Make sure the oxygen's getting to it. Get that fire going. Anybody else do anything? That's what we'll end on really quick. Anyone else embarrassingly start something late, like driving, anything? Like, I mean, barbecuing at 38, that's pretty embarrassing.
Oh, like learning to do something late in life? I don't know.
Like way too late.
I don't know. That's.
I feel like there's nothing I can do too late. I'm only 21, so.
Yeah, I mean, like you just kind of.
I gotta say hi to Rubik. He's listening.
Oh, cool.
I don't know. I guess they're like, I don't know. Maybe they're like little things. Like, I guess they're like every now and then, like something. I'll learn something, like a little thing, and just be like, I really should have known that.
Right.
You know, like I don't know, just a little tidbit of something.
How to spell.
Well, there's that. Like now that I've said it, I can't think of anything like right off the bat. But like,
my tool set's pink. So who do you think does the putting together of anything.
Oh, I had no illusions about that.
Well, I can share a story about how I was trying to hang a shelf and ended up drilling into a water pipe.
Nice. Something simple costs a lot of money.
Because the stud finder said there was something there. And I wasn't thinking about it being a wet wall, like the bathroom, like on the other side. But I was smart enough, like as I was doing it, like I was criticizing the person who built my house because I was like, these studs are supposed to be 16 inches on center.
Is this how your bathroom collapsed through the floor?
No, this was different. That was a different story.
You think his wife would still be with him if that's what caused that?
But like, I thought, I was like, these studs are supposed to be 16 inches on center, and these are by no means 16 inches. Like, there's like 4 inches, now 8 inches. Like, what's going on? And so I drilled, and like, I felt it kind of like, I felt it give, right? Like the pipe bent in a little bit, right? I thought to myself, that's weird. And then pop and
oh, no.
And I'm like, but water wasn't studs coming out yet, right? Like, I was like, wait a minute, what is making it? Wow, what is that?
There's a snake in the wall.
And I pull the drill out, and then water just shoots out the hole at me, and I'm like, ah! So I put my finger over the hole. I'm nice. Like the little Dutch boy with the finger in the...
Quick, someone get a cork.
Right, so I put my finger in and I'm yelling. I'm like, somebody go turn the water off! Yeah.
Wow.
So there was that. And so my dad, we turned the water off. My dad actually came over and with silicone and a screw fixed the hole. And it's still there to this day.
That works.
I was so proud of that fix that, like, I still have not patched the hole. Like, you can look in there and be like, yeah, there's a screw still there.
That's awesome.
Josh, I feel like the ghosts of Christmas future telling you grilling's pretty awesome and you should try it. Like, you know, I feel like
No. He's got it all over you because he did, like, the campfire. Yeah. Like,
oh, that's true. That's true.
He did, like, the Boy Scout way.
How about you two guys? Anything you started late in life that you're... Like,
so I have another one that's kind of camping related, and I wouldn't normally broadcast this, but it was the first thing that popped into my mind, so I'm just going to tell you guys. I didn't learn how to swim until I was 15.
Oh, wow. That's not bad.
I've been camping on a lake every summer from basically before I was born. Well. Like, since my mom was 12 until...
Are you a strong swimmer now?
I plug my nose when I go in the water.
No.
Yeah. So
there are grown ass people that still can't swim. I mean,
that's true.
That's, you know, you just
Shelby
never...
told me yesterday she couldn't swim. I was like, we're in a lake.
You Shelby think... is his fiance. Just
so you are obviously in a gym program that didn't teach it or anything like that. Like
in high school.
Yeah.
Like,
well, he was 15.
Middle
so you wouldn't have been in high
school
yet.
Yeah.
I've been in middle school.
Were you a band geek? Because I got out of swimming and phys ed because I was in band.
I wish I would have done that.
Yeah,
no, they didn't give me that option.
I was in band. No.
What'd you play?
The clarinet.
My girl, so did I. The old licorice stick.
Oh, God.
That's what they call it.
Yeah, they do.
How about Mike?
In the biz.
I feel like I learned something new about my car every day.
Okay.
And it's usually after it breaks down.
Have you done an oil change?
No, I got my oil changed today, though.
Yeah, it's so cheap.
I pulled right in, $21.
Can you change a tire?
I had to last week, yeah.
Can you change your own oil?
I could, yes.
Okay.
I've changed oil before.
Okay.
But
it's cheaper to go now.
By the time you buy the stuff and everything, it's like, well, so for $8 more, I don't get dirty?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
It took me 8 minutes to get my oil changed today when it would have taken, 2 hours?
Yeah. I mean, doing it by – but, it, I mean, yeah, it's actually cheaper to do it now. But it's something that, as a man, you should know how to do.
I do
never
know
done it.
Yeah.
There's a great
– I took Auto Shop.
There's a great book I have. It's called How to Back Up a Trailer and Other –
things that men should know.
Yeah, basically, and it's like 2-page things of, like, this is the shit you should know as a man. Yeah.
I want to get better at backing up with a trailer hooked.
Yeah,
terrible at that.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Like, how to back. You want the easy answer.
To turn left, you turn right.
All you do is you put your hand at the bottom of the steering wheel.
Yep.
And if you want the trailer to go left, you go to the left.
Yep.
If you want the trailer to go to the right, you go to the right.
All right.
And then that's how you do it.
I can hook up a trailer fine.
All right, we're up against it, Jimmy. Anything you started late in life?
Well, you know, I'm a man. So I actually learned how to do all those things. Grant, no, I'm just kidding. I would actually have to say water skiing. I was 22, 23 when I learned how to water ski.
Easy.
But I mean,
let the boat pick you up.
But it was something that my family, every summer we would go to this cottage on this lake, and everybody knew how to water ski. And, like, I was, like, the last one to learn how to do it, successfully. 3 summers it took me of failing before I actually finally got it. And once I got it, I can now always do it.
I'm going to get it done this summer.
Yeah. Speaking of water sports, really quick, off subject, that brain-eating water amoeba is the scariest thing out there, dude.
Oh!
Very rare. Yeah, probably won't happen. Yeah, yeah. But oh my God.
Scaring our kids this weekend.
Oh yeah, I think what you really need to worry about is the giant mosquito pool of West Nile they just found in like Wixom. I think that's the one. That's probably what you need to worry about more so.
I actually changed my answer. My answer is surfing. I was 37 when I learned how to surf.
I don't think that counts because surfing is like, that's not something everybody
that's
does.
That's a luxury. Like that, yeah, like unless you were the Beach Boys, you didn't learn, but you wrote about it.
Yeah, you know, it's something
Rochelle,
that
how about you really quick, anything
once.
You learned late in life?
Well, the other day I learned not to put too much air in my daughter's bike tire.
This is a funny story.
Oh,
tell them what happened.
So we've had this bike for her for like a year and a half and hadn't put air in the tires yet.
Uh-huh.
So we decided one night, let's go do it. We go up there, me and her, we put air in the tires at Meijer, and she rides it around the car, and she's like, this is awesome. We take it home, and we take it in the house, because it was like 10:30 at night. Yeah. And we're sitting there watching a movie, and then all of a sudden, we just hear this, and something hit the blinds, the vertical blinds, and I'm like... Where's the cats? Because it sounded like they're fighting, they're hissing. What is that? And then we noticed that it was the air in one of the tires, and so there it still sits.
Oh,
wow.
Now, this prompted me to go to YouTube and do it tonight. And we watched tires exploding on cars on people.
Yes.
Goes,
this is you and
Oh, yeah. It'll knock your ass.
There's one where this guy's in a garage. He hits the top of the freaking garage and comes down.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to be the scariest.
There's a
– it's dangerous, too.
Oh, yeah. I used to overplay
a lot of pressure.
I'll never do it again.
Yeah.
But just Google it. It's the funniest thing.
Yeah.
We want to thank Josh and Mike from Top Rope Review. Me and Jimmy will be on their show on Sunday, 4 p.m. We'll be talking about UFC 200.
I don't have anything else to
do. Yeah, come on.
I may if I don't
We might bring a ring girl. You never know what we'll do.
Yeah.
And
we're crazy like that.
We're crazy like
Maybe
that.
Maybe I'll dress as a ring girl. Can I borrow your shirt?
No.
Please don't come.
Please don't. All right. So we'll catch everybody next Tuesday. But do listen to us on Sunday, though. Top Rope Review. Thank you, everybody. Episode 195, UFC 200. Exciting week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Elijah.
You're listening to a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.